Let us return to the worship of God, and our opening psalm this evening is Psalm 113, 113 on page 151. There's a misprint on the sheet, I'm afraid. 141, it should be 151. Oh, praise you, servants of the Lord, sing praises to his holy name. O blessed be the name of God, his praise forevermore proclaim. From east to west, the praise of God each day is to be spread abroad. The psalm continues to speak of the Lord's greatness. He is high above the earth, but also further on, how he reaches down to man and even those who are on the rubbish heap, the ash heap, he lifts up, exalting to dignity. So let us sing to the praise of our God, thankful for his great works in our lives. Psalm 113, page 151, singing the whole psalm. Standing to sing, and we'll stay standing to pray after that.
Oh, praise you, servants of the Lord.
Be upon us this evening, O Lord, calling us as your servants, whose duty and whose joy is to serve you with praise. That your name would be honored among us, that your name would receive blessing in and through us, not only as we're gathered here this evening, but also because of your work in our lives, in the days of our lives, the way that we live, all that we are, all we say, all that we do, will be to your blessing in this world and among men. We confess you, O God, as the one who is high and holy, the one beside whom there is no one else, the one who is to be served, the one who is righteous, too holy to behold iniquity, that nothing that defiles can enter your presence. But because of this too, O Lord, we would sing your praises, because you have done that work that overcomes evil, the evil that we have done, the sins we have committed, all ungodliness in those whom you have called to yourself, that we might appear righteous before you only through that great and precious provision of your own beloved eternal Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord God, that once more you would receive us to dip together in him, that this might be a time of true worship in his name. We give thanks, O Lord, that you have made a promise to meet with us, and in your great faithfulness you will fulfill, as we would come humbly and depending utterly upon your mercy in Christ Jesus. So we pray, Lord, that you would deal with us graciously as we are here this evening. We give thanks for the things that we have known today, the blessings and the ways that you have provided for us, and so much beyond what we have perhaps been inclined to ask. That we acknowledge, O God, that your provision is suited entirely for our place in life, and we ask that we might truly profit from all that you have granted to us today. And now do continue to grant the abundance of the blessings of your word. May we know your truth and your call upon our lives. May we know by it the promises also to fulfill all that you require of us, that you would enable us by your Spirit. But keep us, we pray, both now and in time to come. Let your word dwell in us richly, that we might be brought together all the more in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his glory, in his name we pray, and unto your great praise. Amen. Let us turn together to our two Bible readings this evening. First, in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 8. Some of you will have heard me say a number of times before, the book that records Moses' preparation of the people before they entered the promised land. They were just about to enter, and this, amongst other instruction that he gave them, we read in chapter 8. And after that we'll turn to Paul writing to the Corinthians in chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Your garments did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know that in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. So far there, then also turning to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. Reading the first half of the chapter through to verse 19. Previous chapter, Paul had been speaking of love, the greater, the more excellent way. And he speaks, continuing to write concerning gifts to be desired. Chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, Amen, at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. We'll read just so far this evening, and again seeking the Lord's blessing on his word as we do so. Well, let us turn to sing, and let us seek to sing with understanding in Psalm 73, verses we find on page 316. Psalm 73, page 316, beginning at verse 23. And we'll sing through to the end of the psalm. It is a psalm that speaks of the conflict of spirit. There is the opening recognition that God is good to Israel, but looking sideways, as it were, and seeing how many who are wicked were prospering. But then he draws near to the close of the psalm, and in these concluding verses, Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand, and still upholdest me. Thou, with thy counsel, while I live, wilt me conduct and guide. And to thy glory afterward, receive me to abide. And so we'll sing through to verse 28, the end of the psalm, from verse 23, again standing to sing.
Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee.
Whom
Let us draw near to God. Let us pray together. Lord, it is no cause for our rejoicing that so many do persist on the way that leads unto destruction, that broad and open way that seems so often to be a way of prosperity, but so limited to this world. We ask, Lord, that you would do a work in your people, that we would be revived, and that this will be our testimony that we live by your wisdom and direction, your truth, your counsel, that we desire none beside you. Now, as it will be and as it is in heaven, and that this might be a working amongst the many around us, many who are significant in our lives, but yet have no place for you. There might be that drawing work of your Spirit. They too might be drawn unto their God and put their trust in you. To this end, O Lord, we would once more draw near to plead with you for that great working of the declaration of our God and of your truth in this world. And we do thank you, O God, that you have been at work, that many do go out to make this word known, and that you do have a people who do live lives that bear testimony to you. We pray, Lord, that you would grant blessing to follow our own lives thus far, but also that you would work in us all the more, that we will be those who bear witness to you. We ask, Lord, for your special blessing on a number of other folk who are busy about the business of the gospel, and pray that you would work in their ministry, their life, their words. We commend them to you for your strengthening grace, and in some cases particularly for your safekeeping. We would bring before you once more our brother Adam, working in Central Asia at the moment on a journey there to meet and to encourage your people in very testing circumstances for the gospel. But we thank you too that through such work as his and the faithful Christian lives of people there, that your church is growing. We ask, Lord, too, for his family as they await his return as planned in a few weeks' time. We pray that you would uphold them, and that they might know that you are the Father to the fatherless, and care for those, as it were, who are widows, that we pray that this might not be so, but in the time when they're apart, that they would know your near presence in their family. We pray too for your work in other parts and the various mission works that we have connections with. We pray, Lord, that you would uphold your people and that they might know that there is an interest from this side of the ocean for so many who are far from home, that your people are mindful of them as well. We pray especially where there are particular demands because of the economic situation in recent years, and pray for your providing in this, even as you call us in instruction in prayer. We pray too that you would be mindful of the particular needs of this country. We ask, Lord, that you would sustain all who are in ministry in this part, in this nation, and we remember especially works that we're connected with through the Free Church of Scotland. We ask, Lord, for your upholding of the folk in London as they do not yet have a minister resident among them. We pray for your leading in their concerns in this regard. We pray for plans and possibilities that have been raised recently in discussions with them. We would remember too our brother Roddy, who comes among us at times, and we ask, Lord, for your following with blessing the services that he led during March in an exceptional opening for him. We ask, Lord, that you would grant him encouragement, and also in the other meetings that he has at his own base and further afield, we ask, Lord, that you would guide him in his thoughts and his words, and pray for him and Esther in their family life as well, and ask that you would let your presence be known in richness towards them. We commend to you too the recovery of David Robertson. We give thanks as we brought him before you in months past in his great need of recovery. And we thank you, Lord, that you have provided this. We trust that this is for a continued ministry, and pray that you would guide him in that and those around him, and that there would be great wisdom as he would seek to do those things that you have appointed, and not just what men might call him to, or that he has a sense of himself, that he would have a knowledge of the leading of your Spirit. And for all as such, O Lord, that again we'd be mindful of the words of the Apostle, that these things are not for ourselves, but for the building up of your church, for the glory of Christ, our Head. We pray too for the work of CWI, and we ask, Lord, for your blessing on the presence at the fair, the New Age Fair, just in the past month, and ask, Lord, too, for your providing and healing for Nick Stead and strengthening of him, as he was a particular servant in that kind of work. We thank you that others were able to take it on and that there has been some fruit from it. We ask that you would continue to prosper all of this work, and for Jan and for Dick and their part relating to CWI as well. We pray, O Lord, as well for the drawn to our attention today through the record, the magazine. We pray for the congregation in Kilwinning and Saltfitz in Ayrshire. And we're mindful of them, O Lord, and the past connection that we've had through Colin and Elizabeth Reed. And we pray for them too in their new setting. We ask for that part of the country in Scotland, which once upon a time knew such great blessing of the work of your Spirit and the Gospel, but now seems so at least poorly provided for, and so reluctant to take on the things of the Gospel. We ask that there might be, again, a transforming work there. And we ask too, Lord, that you would continue to guide and bless us as we would live in this area and in our relation with the town here in Cobham. We pray for the school as it's brought to our attention and will be especially prayed for in a couple of weeks, we trust, with a large gathering of people with that interest. We pray too for the centre and all the work that is done here, and our relations with the staff particularly, and that we would be ready too to serve them. We ask that you would that work, the effective gospel, where there are many who shut themselves away, who do close off opportunities because they have such provision otherwise. We ask that there would be an awakening to realize that these things only come from their God, and that they would themselves turn and to seek your face and to return thanks to you. So we pray these things, O Lord, and ask that you would work in us, that we ourselves will continue to walk humbly, recognizing that we have nothing if we do not have you, and that whatever we receive of blessing, that these would draw us to look upon you and to hold fast to you. In and through Christ Jesus, may this be so, and would you hear us, all for his name's sake. Amen. I would return to what's known as the Lord's Prayer, and one petition in particular this evening in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. As we are instructed to pray in this way, encapsulated in this one sentence, this petition, this request: give us this day our daily bread. So far in this prayer, we have been reminded, and we need to attune our minds and our hearts to this, that it is in our interests, this is to be our request, to put God first, that he should be first. He comes first in the expression of prayer, in prayer as a whole at least, even if at times we may have isolated, you might call them dart or arrow prayers, as some have called them, in time of need, maybe one particular request that you make. But for prayer as a whole, and our thinking in prayer, our attitude to prayer, our use of prayer, that God comes first. We saw how it is in heaven, that his will is done in heaven, praying that it should be so also on earth. But at the same time, we are to remember, while it is so in heaven, and that is what we are to seek in our own lives, we're also reminded that we are under direction to address God as our Father. A reminder of the fatherly care of God towards his people, those who are his children, through faith in his eternal Son Jesus, that we are brought to share in the privileges of being children of God through receiving, believing in the Lord Jesus. And that is an equally important part that is to run through all our prayers. Prayer is to ask in its simplest form. And so it's appropriate that we are to come to our Father to ask, the Father who does provide. And it's so that it's on this basis that, among other things, but first for ourselves more particularly, is this petition: give us today our daily bread. You have perhaps done it yourself, you have perhaps heard others do it, for various reasons, to make comparisons between the churches in the so-called West and in the developing world, the Church of the South, as it's sometimes called, in places like Latin America and Africa. We look at these in comparison, we see the great numerical growth in such parts of the church, and the decline in the West, as we call it. We see that in some parts believers suffer more for their faith than we seem to. But there are also differences such as in Africa, where life seems to be more of a struggle than it is for us, and therefore many believers do seem to be more conscious of their need on a daily basis, as we put it. They know that they need to cry out. There is a lack in their lives and they cry out to God. That's the direction of their thought and their mind and their heart in that need. But I find it interesting that these are very often also the places, the parts of the church, where you might detect a stronger sense of the reality of spiritual things. It can be negative, it can be a dark spiritual reality, but at times there seems to be more sense of the glory of God and the spiritual realities in that regard. It's within this that I would turn our minds and our thoughts to this petition, give us this day our daily bread. It's with that kind of background, given that we are in the West, that I would ask a question. I would ask a question, when did you last pray precisely this kind of prayer? When you sit down to a meal, you very likely, I trust, offer thanks. But when did you last pray this prayer, give us today our daily bread, a request? And then I would ask the question, this is the question I would follow through this evening, is why would you not pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread? And I mean that in terms of praying it with a clear and a very strong sense of its meaning and its significance. But it's not just the form of the prayer, but digging deep into its significance, its implications. I would endeavor to do this by looking at what I suggest are three main areas of application. In the three parts of the sentence, there is the request, give us today our daily bread. There are three parts. Give us today, God, give us our daily bread. And I would highlight, first of all, God's interest in us, that we're asking Him to give these things to us. Then it's our gifts to share. It is in the plural, as is the address, our Father, so it is give us our daily bread. And then thirdly, God's perfect supply. It's our bread, the thing that we need, and it's daily sufficient for our daily need. So it's the giving that we ask for, it's the plurality of this request, and it's the precise thing that we're asking for that I would highlight this evening. And first of all then, God's interest in us. Give us bread, we are told to ask for by God Himself. He is saying, this is what you should be asking me for. Why would you not pray this prayer? I suggest you would not pray this prayer for several reasons regarding God's interest in you. You will not pray this prayer if you think that God limits His interest in you. You may think that He is only interested in big things. For example, there are many who have thought over the years, in the last couple of hundred years, that God made the world a long time ago and He left it to run itself, more or less, but He made it in such a way that it will keep going, which includes the seasons and the passing and the harvest and so on, the provision of food, or He makes it with the so-called natural laws that manufacture is possible and we can get what we need, etc. But didn't Moses tell the people of Israel? God gave you the strength that you could get that wealth that you thought you brought by your own strength. Let's not forget, and I mean that not just in our minds, in our knowledge, but in every practical way. The Bible tells us, it's further down in that same chapter, Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, we learn that your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And just prior to that, he was telling how he provides for them just as well as he provides for the birds of the air or the lilies of the field. God is at work, readily providing, constantly providing food, the things you need, even food and clothing. God is not just interested in the big things. He doesn't just make the world as a big thing and then leave it to work itself. He's involved. He's part of us. But if you're not careful, you may end up going through life thinking. You would say, no, I don't think like that. But don't you? How do you take a hold of this and say, God cares about my food today and tomorrow for tomorrow? Or you might not pray this prayer with depth and meaning if you think that God is only interested in so-called spiritual things. You may know that this is the prayer. You may know that God knows your needs and will provide. But you may also, by your way of life, you may also be revealing that you are disconnecting what you know from what you do, what you are, from your day-to-day life. And that is the deeper thinking. That is the thinking that frames your life. What is it in fact? Not just what you know intellectually as you read and you can answer the questions. It's what you actually do that reflects your mindset, your perspective. And it's what you do that can reflect that you think that God is not interested in the things of our bodies, material things, physical things. God says he is, and it's so desperately important that we take him at face value, take him seriously. He says it, he means it. What he says, he will do. He says he will make sure that you have what you need if you trust in him. Let's trust in him. Trust in his word. There's a phrase, and it's one that's quite easy to get confused, an expression in the Bible that speaks about good measure pressed down and running over. Let's do that with God's word and his promises and his promise that he will take care of you. Get it into your life and press it down. Work at pressing it down. Make it and fill it. Fill your life with that knowledge that you do live by it. Or else you will not be praying this prayer. We see just how interested God is in the basic needs of man by the way he provides for people even when they don't trust in him. We are his creation, body, soul, and spirit, and he is interested in everything about us. Let's be very careful we don't fall into the trap of thinking that spiritual and earthly things are disconnected from each other. Yes, God is spirit, but he is our maker in a physical world. Maybe just look at it the other way round. When you do receive, give yourself to thanksgiving. That's surely the right response. And isn't that a state of worship, a spiritual action? It does belong. It has a spiritual significance. They're not even separate things. They have a bearing on each other. God is interested. We are praying to God to give us something so basic as our food. But I also want to emphasize that this is speaking of our gifts to share. We're praying that God will give. It is a gift, but it is something to be shared. There are these other aspects that you may be forgetting, which will mean that you will not be praying this prayer. You may be forgetting that everything you have is because of the grace of God in Christ. It's because of Christ that we may and we must pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father, our daily bread, in the same way. You will not pray this prayer if you forget that you have no claim on God for anything. You will not pray this prayer if you forget that you have no claim on God for bread, as much as for salvation. No man has a right to bread. Bread is only given to man because God sent his Son, Christ Jesus, and he always intended to. If God had not chosen to send a Savior, we would all be in our sin and under his wrath and destruction. Think back to the days of Noah, for example. But in the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Christ makes all the difference. We would not be here if it were not for God sending his Son. Destruction would be the only way. But if that is so, as a rule, for all, so much more then for those who believe. For all who can call God Father through union with Christ. We should have confession in mind as we pray. Even this prayer, it does have a spiritual connection. Praying that we may receive bread. Praying through Christ our Lord, our Savior. We will not be praying this way if we lose sight of our absolute need to be joined with Christ, to have a hearing before God. Even praying for our daily bread. But what does this have to do with our gifts to share? It's because we share them with Christ, because of Christ. That's where we need to begin. We share through the grace of the supply, of Christ's supply to us in every need. But if we share through those blessings, let's not be forgetful either of the needs of others. We'll not pray in this way if we're more interested, if you are more interested, if I'm more interested in my bread or my millions. For a start, it can only ever be mine insofar as God has put these blessings into my stewardship. But that's not the way we're taught to pray. We're taught to pray together, that these things are to be shared. We share in the fellowship of Christ's people. We saw it perhaps a few months ago, looking at Philippians in chapter 2. Sharing that fellowship, we should be seeking everyone's interests, as well as God's, as well as our own. These are pronouns possessive pronouns, there's the us and the our in this prayer, are very important. Let's not miss them. Put nouns in place. Lord, give to everyone in your church the daily bread that everyone in your church needs. Or indeed, give to men today the daily bread that men need. We should have an interest in our neighbor, not just those who are within the family of God, all who are in need. Who is excluded from that? And those who are not yet in the church may yet well be one day. Our Father can only be said by the believer, truly. I wouldn't soften that truth for a moment. But let us bear in our hearts those who may yet be his children and share the prayer for their sake as well. My third emphasis this evening is on God's perfect supply. Give us this day our daily bread. However often you might pronounce this line, you are not praying with an earnest heart if you fail to acknowledge the perfection of God's grace towards you. And that has two parts, I think. One is a recognition of your need of grace, grace which is free. There's nothing that's possible to give in return except thanks. You need grace. You need his free gift. Give us, simply give us today our daily bread. But also with it is the wisdom and the perfection of God's will. It's a wonderfully simple, it's almost a blunt prayer. Give us. Father, give us. It can't be anything else. We cannot make any deals. We cannot bring any offers. We cannot pay the necessary price. Just ask. Just ask. Having said that, although the Lord is very much interested in our temporal needs, physical needs, there is some difference in our prayer for the spiritual and for the temporal things. The spiritual needs that we pray for example, what followed, forgive us our debts, deliver us from the evil one. These are absolute. These are must-have. Without them, we're gone. This is eternal life and its accompaniments that we're looking at. But for temporal things, they must be asked for, yes, asked bluntly, plainly, simply, but they must be asked for recognizing that they are conditional. We ask with the proviso that we are trusting in the wisdom of God's answers. I remember reading a story of a nature collector as a boy, and he was on Corfu. You may know the fellow as I tell the story, but he was a boy on Corfu and he was able to run wild almost, and he gathered all kinds of specimens. And one day he was given a couple of baby hedgehogs, and he read the books and he knew how to feed them. But he was taken away for just a day, I think it was, and he asked his sister, who was very very emotional about these baby hedgehogs. They were very cute. And so she was delighted to have to look after them. And when he came home, he was horrified to see that these baby hedgehogs were virtual balloons and they couldn't touch the ground with their feet. They had swollen up so much. And he threw a tantrum, and then he asked his sister what happened. And she said, well, they just seemed to want to drink and drink and drink. They just wanted more. Doesn't that speak of us if we're looking at our own judgment, our own wisdom, about what is our daily need? That's the nature of man. He's always wanting more and never satisfied. But the Lord is perfect. Today, our daily bread, what I need for today, Lord, give me that. Conditional, that provisor that we're trusting, knowing, sure, that He will provide as far as He sees these things good for us. And that has a spiritual bearing too. And it continues free. It's His grace towards us. He knows, He plans, He works. I took this as my text back in October as something of a harvest Thanksgiving text. And amongst other things, I traced out some examples. And if you look at the fine things that you had on the table today, dwell on them, think about them. Think about the time and the processes that were involved to get them there. Even your own hands working to produce them. We are in a very interesting situation in the UK just at the moment, or perhaps it's dying its own death, but before you were born, God knew that you would need fuel for your tank for the essential journey today. And He planted down those fossil fuels and all that happened in the world since they were first set in place. He knew. He always has known. And He still knows your need. But you will not pray this prayer if you're not willing to put your trust in God for this. You'll not pray this prayer if you fail to see the ways that He does provide for your needs. Food, clothing, shelter. And Paul says, let's learn to be content with these. And He provides for you many extras on top of all that. And He does it to work for your spiritual benefit by calling you to pray this prayer. To recognize that what you have is His gift. Perfect for you. And that benefit comes by how you respond to His kindnesses. What is on your heart when you are blessed? What was on Israel's heart when they were blessed with those fields that just seemed to spring up new crops every year, that gave such richness to the wool on their sheep's backs? What was in Israel's heart when they built those beautiful houses and cities? What was on David's heart when he had a glorious palace and he said, I've got this and God's house. God doesn't have a house. What was on the hearts of Zerubbabel and those with him as they returned to Jerusalem? And after 18 years, they had the foundation of the temple and nothing else. And Haggai called them to consider their ways as they put paneling inside their houses and there was no house for God and his ark. How do you respond to God's kindnesses? What happens when He blesses you? God has blessed us as a family in amazing ways this past week. I want to tell you that. That's only this past week I'm telling you about, and there's so much more. How will you deal with prosperity? How will you deal with hardship? Will you allow yourself to begin thinking as the world does? In prosperity, will you begin to pray that your more than enough comes under His further blessing? Psalm 132, I will abundantly bless her provision.
The provision is a blessing, but I will abundantly bless the provision.
That it will be a blessing to you and to others through you. And that suggests yet another reason why you might not pray this prayer. From a lack of thankfulness for what you have received. That's as good as saying that what you have in your hands did not come from Him. But let thankfulness be there as the offering of our lips. Let thankfulness be there as the giving of our lives. He has given us richly all things to enjoy, Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 6:17. But he said before that, it's not for their sake, for the things to enjoy, but to encourage our trust in Him, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Friends, time has gone this evening. I ask the question, why would you not pray this prayer? You wouldn't pray it if your thinking is astray in any of these ways. You may say such words, but only if your heart is awake to the truths in these words. Only if you are thinking truly through the core of your being will it be an effective prayer. God may still be rich in His blessings and His goodness towards you. But there are even greater benefits in recognizing that He is your provider. Even in this you live to your chief purpose. You turn the glory to Him. This is also a prayer from the heart, renewing your trust, your dependence on Him to His glory. How am I going to put bread on the table tomorrow? I'm going to ask God for it first. It's so very inconsistent to pray in one breath, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm on earth. And then to presume on your daily needs. Either to receive them, that you presume that you'll receive them, or to imply that you gain them purely by your own strength and ingenuity. Perhaps when we look at this prayer, these are just a few words. I spoke earlier of how we sometimes perhaps are in danger of thinking that God is interested only in spiritual issues. These are just 8 words in Greek out of 57 in the whole prayer. But they are all of 8 words. They're not missing. They are there. They are important. They're important to God. He is the one who teaches us to pray this. He is the one who says, therefore, I will hear this prayer if you pray it. With the understanding, with the heart, with earnestness, and thinking in the right way about all that is involved in the Lord's providing for our needs. Providing perfectly. Let's take good hold of these 8 words and put the value on them that He does. And may He bless His word to each of us this evening and to His kingdom. Let us now pray together. O Lord, we thank You for our daily bread today. Keep these words clearly before us. Forgive us that we may have neglected them today and in many days past. Forgive us Lord. But help us to recognize how we have been forgiven, the debt that we've been forgiven. Help us to respond with gratitude, and to do so by making this our repeated prayer, making this the habit of our thinking, that all we have is from your gracious hand. Continue, O God, we pray, to look upon us in mercy. We pray for each one of us as we go our various ways from here, that you will provide even for what remains of today. We pray for our families and friends, people that are in special care upon our hearts, and commend them to you, that they too might know your gracious provision. And so look upon us, we pray, O God, through your own beloved Son, that in him you would fulfill your every promise, and pardoning sin, casting it far from us, and receiving us in him. To your glory we pray. Amen. And the closing psalm of today is Psalm 20 on page 24. And we'll sing the first three stanzas to the verse marked 5. So Psalm 20, page 24. May the Lord answer you when you cry in distress. May Jacob's God keep you, whose name you confess. May God send assistance from his holy place, and grant you from Zion support by his grace. And through to verse 5, to the praise of God, let's stand to sing and remain standing for the benediction.
May the Lord answer you when you cry in distress. May Jacob's God keep you, whose name you confess. May God send assistance from his holy place, and grant you from Zion support for his grace. May God keep him.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.